Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Hello and welcome to the morning meeting, building John Boy Media. My name is Jimmy. Maddie is here. We have another pre-recorded guest interview because I'm on paternity leave as you're listening to this. And this time it's Frankie Alvarez. And we talked about all a bunch of stuff. Here you go.
I wanted to talk about baby. I got 7 days to my due date of my second.
Congrats, man.
You had two in diapers, right? Or still have two in diapers?
Still have two in diapers. And it's, boy, it's throwing us for a loop, man.
Anything I need to know or prep for specifically?
So how old is your big guy? He's going to be two?
He's just under two. He's like 19 months or 20 months. I was real great at keeping track. And then the months got too high. And I'm not good at like calendar math, like November to June. I don't know those months, you know.
When people sit and they'll be like, "Oh, this is my son. He's 42 months," and I'm like, "Just come on, just give it to me straight. Give me a year, an approximation. I don't need to be specific."
Yeah, like I always thought I was just gonna go 18 months to 2 years, but people keep asking in this interim, and I'm like, "Fuck, I'm gonna go to howoldami.com and see. I'll type it in for him."
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Set up, you know what you do? Set up like an Excel spreadsheet. So like you can put it down to like the days and the hours if you need to.
Man, it does feel weird. Like, you know, dads always have that reputation of like not knowing like full, like I know his birthday, but like, you know, not knowing what grade you're in when you're in the middle of like all those weird years.
Well, your brain is like pulled in so many different directions. You're worrying about this, that, the other thing. And so it's almost impossible sometimes to, you know, keep track of everything.
He is 1 year, 7 months, 18 days.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's 19?
Yes, 12 plus 7. Yeah, I got it.
I think I said that.
Yeah, so, you're right. It took you a second to get there.
How about you? 6 months or 3 months or really?
So I have an 8-year-old who turned 8 yesterday.
Oh, happy birthday.
And then, thank you. Now you're making me do math.
Yeah.
So I guess what, 22 years and 4 months. So yeah. 28 months.
So that's just 2 years, I think.
Yeah. We can just say almost, I'll even say 2.5. I don't care.
I like that. Yeah.
And then, my youngest daughter is, 5 months.
Ooh. So, okay. So that's a nice age though. Starting to like, laugh and smile and grab your finger
laugh,
a bunch.
Smile. She wants to like, she sees her older siblings just on the go running and crawling. Playing and blah blah blah. So she is like super eager to do it, but she's taking her time.
How was the 2.5-year-old with when the baby came?
Oh, I mean, I think like the first week she was a little kind of feeling it out, like what's this, what's going on. But we did the classic, you know, 1950s parent thing where we got her about, I would say maybe like 2 months into the new pregnancy, we got her like a bunch of little baby dolls. So she was used to like nurturing something, walking it around, playing with it. And so far she's been an absolute angel with her, you know, so no complaints. And everyone is, knock on wood, I know I'm going to jinx myself when I say this, but those let's see what happens. People say it's different for boys and girls, but, you know, let's see. She's been really, really great.
Yeah. Sometimes it's the threes, I think, but, or the twos for different people, whatever. My guy is, he's very sweet, and he has a younger cousin that's 6 months younger than him. So like was a baby, now a year old, but he's very gentle and sweet with her, but he is going through like a hitting phase right now where he doesn't know he's hitting you, but he'll just get like frustrated and just flail his arms and slap me right in the face. And then I just stop and I just look at him, and then he hugs me and says, sorry. And he's just, like, he feels bad. Can't help
just
it.
Tag him back, you know. Yeah. Give him a nice receipt and just be like, you know, bob and weave and just give him a little one.
He wants to make us laugh so bad, so he's constantly doing stuff that he thinks will make get a laugh. And if he crosses the line and then I have to not laugh and say like no, he'll just go
yeah.
Like, it's all right.
Yeah.
And then I gotta hug him. I was like, it just wasn't funny, dude.
Yeah. No. And they test those boundaries. We'll go on, you know, at bedtime for the 5-month-old. I'll bring my 2-year-old on walks. And it's all, every single time, it's just a matter of just testing her boundaries. Literally, I'll be like, don't do that. And she'll like slowly creep into whatever I'm telling her not to do, just to just to, you know, drive my sanity up a wall and really test the, you know, test the limits of what she's allowed to get away with. But it's fun, man. You're gonna, you know what it is. It's a lot of work. I think, you know, it's funny when we had just the two and we first found out we were pregnant. And we, of course, my wife, when she was pregnant, everyone always said, like, listen, if you could do two, you could do any number.
Yeah.
That is the biggest. I don't know if I'm allowed to curse on here.
Yeah. But yeah.
Biggest crock of dog shit that I've ever heard. And three has been that first like month of three was insanity. Really, really, really tough. So but you guys. You got it. It's not you're built for this. You'll be fine.
Yeah, we have a nice support system too. Like my mom lives 5 minutes away. My sister lives 5 minutes away, and my sister who works here as well. I don't know if you guys met, but she has 3, 6 months, 3 and 5, I think. So I'm getting to see that and seeing that. Oh no, like strap in, because you know her 5-year-old is now doing baseball, swimming lessons, and it's like when that shit kicks in. It's a whole new game.
Yeah. The age difference between, you know, my youngest, and he's my stepson. So the age difference between him and our 2-year-old and even our 5-month-old has been super blessing because he is so helpful and they are like enamored with him. They love him so much. He can like, you know, if the baby's super, super fussy, he'll literally just say, give me the baby. And he'll sit there and walk around with her and she's dead quiet.
I was 10 when my brother was born and I loved I love babies. So like if I'm at a 1-year-old's birthday party and there was a newborn there and I was like, I just cut the line. Like, nope. I got him.
You got to get your reps back in,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I
got
to practice. It's like, oh, okay. This is easy.
Yeah. It's tough because he'll have, you know, school. And then after school, he would go to karate and then he'd have to come home and then it'd be dinner. And it drives you a little nuts, but you know, the thing that we say is like, we got to put this time is not about us as the parents. It's about them.
Yeah.
You know, just making their life as enjoyable, but it's fun, man. You'll two is going to be, you know, you're going to have two under two. It'll be the most fun. It'll be a little crazy. You'll lose your mind, but you'll be great.
Yep. Hope she's a good sleeper. And if she's not, she's going to need to be. It's like more so, I don't have to sleep train the baby. I have to sleep train my wife. Because she is like the first cry. We actually just got like this morning, my guy was crying. She's like, are you going to get him? I'm like, it's fine. And I was like, hey, we're going to have a baby. You want to sleep train him? Like, we got to sit through some crying now. It's all right.
Are you, are you a morning person or are you?
I am now. become one. Yeah.
I see you posting all those, you know, all those clips of you getting to the office super early. And I'm like, my guy's getting after it. Good for you.
That's Monday, Tuesday. That's the sneaky part. Thursdays, we go to the warehouse and fuck around and like play blitzball. And we're recording, but it's a much lighter schedule. And then Fridays, I work from home, which is like I lock myself in the basement and work all day. But, you know, those Mondays, Tuesdays, that's a little for show.
Good, man. Yeah, it's... You got a good support system. You guys will be great. Don't worry about it. And even if you lose your mind, it's all good.
That's part of it. That's what I always say. Like, that's like, that's part of this little like season of our lives is like, I want to be in this shit. Like, you know, if I have a baby and they never pee on me while I'm carrying them in between diaper changes, like that, was I a parent? Like we need all that shit to happen.
Everyone needs a little bit of pee on them. Where it comes from, that's up for debate, but yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I didn't get like the stream up my face for my son. I was carrying him to the shower, just took him, got him naked in the room, carried him to the bath, and just in those 10 steps just peed all over my hip.
I've gotten that at least twice with my daughter, and the only thing I can say I haven't gotten is you know, poop in any form on me physically,
just like a wiggly diaper change maybe on the fingers, but not like
that's nothing. But I'm saying like when people like when it goes up their back and you're holding
I've
never had that, thankfully. Although, that might be when I give the baby away. I'm like, all right, I give it to my wife. I need to calm down.
My son was going down the slide in the backyard over the weekend, and the slide had been moved or the dog's shit right at the base of the slide, and he was barefoot. So he's like going down the slide, stepped in it, and then he was climbing up the slide, going down, and then we didn't like know for a little bit. So that was a bit of a thing. Oh, and then my sister and I'm holding him up, and my sister takes the hose and we're going to spray his foot to get the poop off. And as I'm holding him and she starts spraying, the water starts splashing off his foot back into my face. And now after like one full second, I'm like, oh, like I realized like this is poop water spraying in my face. And she realized it. And it's kind of like laughing, like we're so dumb, but also I got to run because now there's shit all over my face in a weird way. So that was,
yeah. It's all
right. So maybe that counts.
But that's dog shit. Everyone steps in dog shit barefoot. Everyone, you know, has like a weird run in with dog shit at a point in their lives. So yours was just way more interesting, you know?
Yeah. All right, we'll pivot to content and doing podcasts and stuff. So,
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We talked to Joe the other week, and it's just a bunch of, mostly on the show, it's, I like talking about my life and parenting and stuff. We haven't done that in a while, but usually I post like home videos, behind the scenes stuff and all that. And you
gotta say, your son's got a killer fastball so far, man.
He still throws with both hands and he can chuck the ball. I actually just told my wife that I want to plan a family home run derby, like one, like June 15th, I threw out that date. We all go to the park and who can hit it the farthest. And I said, at what age does he beat you, to my wife? And she said, probably 5. And I was like, yeah, yeah, probably like off a tee, probably 5.
Did the competitor and you just set this up so you could beat your son at something and do that thing where it's like, you need to get good.
When's he going to beat me was the next question. And first I threw out 12 and then I did the math and I'm still in my mid 40s. So I was like, I think I got him at 12. My brother definitely beat my dad at 12. He was a really good baseball player at that age. But I think once like 14 comes, I'm out. But yeah, I want to do that. It's a family outing. My dad was like, I want to go too. I was like, oh, okay. I mean, it's going to be sad if you get beat by, you know, the 5-year-old.
Yeah. My son hasn't shown too much of an affinity for sports. But we do that with video games. So he'll pop on, you know, Mario Party or Mario Kart or something like that. Excuse me. And I say to him, I'm like, listen, no more like me giving you a head start. Like you need to be ready. You know, you need to be ready to actually win. And he says like, yeah, I'm about it. And then he'll get dusted and then he gets upset and he's like, I'm like, hey, man, what do you want? You think I'm going to let you win? You know? And he's like, well, you know, and I'm like, no, man. And especially there was one day we played my wife and I played Mario Party together. And you know how at the end of the Mario, I don't remember the last time you've played, if you've played at all, but at the end of the game, they have like the bonus stars, you know, and it'll say like, oh, whoever moved the most spaces, whoever had the most coins. He was leading by like 2 stars and we just came from the back and took him. And he was, but you know, you got to
throw the controller.
It's one of those like weird things. Like you always have that moment, that teachable moment where it's just like, you know, you sit him down and you're like, listen, like you need to understand, like you can't, not everything is handed to you, but he was just not about it. So we've learned to not play Mario Party together for, you know, in opposition for a while now.
My brother's 10 years younger than me. And when we growing up, so he'd be, you know, 5, I'm 15, 8, 18, whatever. Basketball, because I'm terrible at basketball. I don't really even play basketball. I was like, I'm not letting you beat me in basketball until you can beat me in basketball. And then at that point, we're never going to play anymore. So like I'd be 15 and he'd be 5 and I'd just never let him win. That was I chose one thing. I was like, baseball, I want you to, I like, you know, maybe I didn't want him to like basketball because I didn't want to have to play him with him anymore. Maybe that was the inner workings of that evil code.
Yeah. We're a very competitive household. My wife was like a star basketball player through like high school and, you know, into her like 20s and 30s. And I tell her all the time, because I'm like you, I was atrocious in basketball, absolutely atrocious. But the only thing I had was height, you know, because I was taller than, you know, most of my friends for a lot of our, you know, adolescence. So, you know, my wife and I have been to the park and I've been like, listen, you'll probably outshoot me, but you're not getting in the paint. You're not, you know, you're not laying one up on me. Yeah. And I ended up beating her. And to this day, you know, I always like, I mess around with her and I say, I was like, well, don't forget who's beating you in basketball. She's like, you literally just overpowered me. And I was like, you know, what do you want me to do there?
I like competitiveness as long as you can handle winning and losing. Like our age group, it's fading now. I talked to some youth coaches, and I don't know if you know who Coach Ballgame is, but I love what he's doing. But I went on their podcast and talked about this, like, my brother's age group. So, and you, Maddie, their age group was the participation when it was like full swing, like everyone got trophy and it was like, don't worry, don't try. It's just a game. And that's faded now because I think people have learned, like, you should want to compete. Like, life and work and everything is, as long as you understand the limits of which you yourself can go before you go to a dark place, all that. So, like, I always talked about with my wife, because we're a competitive family. She's really not. My mom really isn't, but my dad is, and all us, our kids are. And I'm like, no, it's good. Like, we want them to want to win. That's very important in life. Or put their best effort forward.
Yeah. I think any time that there's, like, you know, significant, like, social changes in whatever, you know, using it in the context here of, like, people that say, like, oh, now everyone gets a participation trophy. Well, they forget that it's that generation that complains about it is the one that's giving the trophies.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and I think anytime there's, like, a radical social change, they go instantly to the polar opposite end of whatever it was.
Yeah.
So, you know, should be a cutoff. Time,
like, once you get, like, house league, sure. But if you're playing travel ball, that should be winners and losers. And, like, for my brother's age, it kind of wasn't. They were, like, still, like, not really doing that. I was like, that's nuts.
Yeah. I think, you know, the as it, like, balances out, it'll stop being like everyone's a winner, and it'll just be like, oh, well, understand what it means.
Learning
to
lose is more important than dampering wanting to win.
Yeah. What's the, you know, everyone sees your, I'm butchering the quote here, but it's like, everyone sees your successes. No one sees your failures.
Yeah.
Or you, like, know, that
iceberg
and
quote.
Exactly. Yeah. Like the iceberg and then down there, it's all that, you know,
there's this, is a kind of a, more serious thought, but I thought of it, so I'm going to share it. There's this movie called Thunder Road. I actually met one of the, have you seen it or know about it?
I know about it. I haven't seen
it. You love movies, right?
Big movie guy. Yeah.
Have you seen, there was a short called Thunder Road and then they made it into a full feature. It's awesome.
I'll take a look. I haven't seen
it. Yeah. You watched the short. It's like 10 minutes, but I think it's, like, really, really good. And then I like the movie. There's this line in the movie that fucked me up. The dude's mom dies. And he's not handling it well at all. And he's kind of, like, freaking out. And at one point in the middle of his yelling, he says, I just found out her first boyfriend or husband died in Vietnam. And I never even fucking talked to her about that. And I was, that line fucked me up. I talked to one of the producers and I was like, dude. And he was like, yeah, that line fucked me up too. When I read the script, like, I'm like, what is there going on in my parents' life that significantly changed who they are as a person that I don't know about and I've never talked to? That's, like, you know.
You'll see it with your kids, you know, is, like, think about the full life that you and your wife lived before your children were born.
Yeah.
And not only the stories that you'll remember, but, like, I have a really good memory and I always try to retell stories in order to remember them
the same way,
because I freak myself out thinking, like, what have I forgotten that I used to tell as, like, a party story or something. And just think about all the stories that you will forget for your kids, or you won't even be able to tell them, because we all have stories that we can't tell our children. And thinking about that with your parents, you know, and what the things that they, bro, I am with you. I am, like, time is, like, I don't have any phobias, but time and, like, the passage of time
We're
is
very
just one of the things that freaks me out to no end.
Yeah.
And I don't talk about it because it just, like, I remember one time I read something and it's such a, like, just like a minuscule little thing to think about, but it was like, this moment right now, it's etched in stone. You'll never get it back. And I was just like,
yeah. Hey, you're a lot like me. That, whatever that is, that version of anxiety or whatever, the passing of time, freaks me out. Do you like Richard Linklater movies? Do you know Dazed and Confused or Get Some?
I know Dazed and Confused, Boyhood, you know.
Yeah. Before Sunrise. 'Cause he is obsessed with the passage of time. Like, all his movies are exploring this, like, you know, Boyhood was a lot like that. Like, what is this all? And, it messes me up a little bit, and then also I'm fascinated by it. So, like,
I'm the type, like, I'll watch movies to experience it and see it, and then I won't watch it again just because I don't need to be reminded of what that movie is telling me. You know what I mean? Like, there are certain parts about, you know, certain things that are just like, I've experienced it, I've did it. My wife all the time, she's like, the most rewatchable movie is Forrest Gump, and I was like, it was a great movie, watched it once, don't need to see it again, because it is just, it is beating you over the head with, you know, what it's telling you at the end of that movie, which I won't spoil for anybody.
I think it's The Replacements, because when Shane Falco is going for the touchdown at the end and you're on TBS or TNT, whatever of those channels just throws it, you're like, you're rooting for him.
Yeah.
Like, I hope he pulls this off.
I say it all the time. My favorite movie of all time. It's not, I don't think it's the best movie ever, but it's also the most rewatchable for me. And it's The Mask with Jim Carrey.
Ooh,
that like created my persona and just his over the topness. I was like, I think it came out in like 94. There was
best
that year
for movies.
Dude, that year he had The Mask, Dumb and Dumber, and Ace Ventura back to back to back, which is just an insane, you know, hot streak.
You also had Forrest Gump and Shawshank and
Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
I think they were all out at the exact same time.
I think
the theaters.
Sandlot.
It's nuts. Absolutely nuts. But, you know, it's like that. I can watch 800 million times and never get sick of it.
You said you have a really good memory. So do I. Because I move so much. So like my life is broken up into 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. So if I just like, oh, where did I live? And then I can narrow it through there. So it's easier for me.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
But I also kept a journal my whole life. I took photos. Like I did all, like, so like, it's like I built a good memory. It's not like I just born with it. But when you finish recording a podcast and then 10 minutes later, you're like, what the fuck did I just say? And you can't remember any of it. Does that weird you out? Cause I have a good memory. And then I'm like, what? I don't know anything that we just said.
Dude. And it almost, because I mean, I know you said that you've seen some of our podcasts. We talk about, we'll start off and we'll be like, all right, this is what we're going to talk about. We're going to hit on this, this, and this. And then by the end of it, we're like, we didn't hit on any of it, but how did we fill that hour and change of time? And then we, you know, we say some, you know, outlandish, stupid stuff sometime. And then we're just like, but wait a second, what did we say? to kind of go back and, you know, we never say anything that's really out of left field. That's going to put us, you know, that would be hurtful to anybody. But, you know, you always like wonder like, you know, and then like I said, thankfully, anything that, you know, what you see is what we record. You know, we've never had to like really edit anything out. But yep, we're the exact same boat, man.
Do you have times where, because your social media clips go crazy, and like right now I know they're like a ton of those have just like taken off, or like in the last year that's blown up. I know you've been doing it for a while, but like, you know, they have a life of their own. You probably have an audience of clip watchers that are like diehard, but they never watch the long form. But have you ever had a clip come out and you're like, that's not the context I was saying that in?
Sometimes, you know, I think the way that the clips are sometimes broken up, they're done for entertainment purposes to pull people into the, I mean, you know what it is. It's to pull people into the episode to get more context. You know, there was one recently, I think came out just with this week's episode where we talked about, I went to a 50-50 raffle and it was for a family friend that had a form of cancer. And the way that the clip like goes through it was like, I just took the money, you know, because I won the raffle. And like, you're supposed to be like, you know what, I'm going to do the honorable thing and give them the money back. But like, I was like a 19-year-old broke college kid that was trying to like go on vacation. So I was just like, I'm not going to take it. And the clip is, you know, cut in a way that it looks like I was just like, you know, trying to like kind of dig myself out of the hole. But the reality is I ended up talking with the guy and some family friends. I gave him some money, you know. So, yeah, there's different contexts, but those clips are meant to entice people to get people to the full episode. But, you know, I go on I have a Cameo account. People, you know, kind of pay for messages and stuff like that. And I've had recently, more than ever before, people just saying like, listen, he loves the clips, doesn't watch the full episode. Give him a birthday shout out and tell him to go watch the full episodes. And I was like, oh my God, I never even thought about how many people have just seen the clips and never watched anything else.
Yeah. But I mean, if you think about how many creators or like channels are out there that you watch the clips of, but never like tune in.
Yeah.
You're like, fuck, I do that all the time. And then you just come to acceptance of like, okay, well, that's fine. That's a version of an audience that we still need. But we have it a little different because we're in the world of sports where we have people that like actively want to take their own clip, completely change the context of it to like fucking get us, which is
that's annoying. The nature of sports broadcasting is like they want to hear, you know, a small snippet of what you said and then just be like, you know, the John Boy guys think that ba ba ba.
It's nuts. And that is kind of weird because I'm like, for the people that listen to the long form, they know, like they're in the episode with us. And sometimes for Talking Yanks, we're recording at midnight when I've put in like 15 hours of work. And then I went home, I did bath time, bedtime, and then like the Yankees and I'm like, oh, and then I'll like be just so on my last brain cell and doing such like silly goose sarcasm. And like someone doesn't pick up on it. And now all of a sudden there's a 200 page Reddit thread about like this thing I reported. And I'm like, I didn't report that. I was fucking joking around.
Yeah, no, we've had people get a little upset with certain very small minor things that we've said, but and not even in clips, just like on the episodes. And our thing has always been like, one, we don't bring them up because when you add, you know, when you fan the flame, it's going to, you know, it's going to grow. But we've always just said like, you know, the proof is in the pudding. Like if you go and you watch the rest of the episode and you look at the context, you'll see we're very open and clear about, you know, our beliefs, whether it be, you know, political or whatever else. So, you know, people know us. And I think that we're kind of coming around on that whole like, you know, people just reacting to the initial, you know, being shock jockeys and reacting to the initial what they hear without context. So we rely a lot on the fact that people have kind of watched us grow up and they know the type of people we are. Yeah. And we're also open about the things that we have used to believe when we were younger and dumber and just, you know, and then it's not about what you used to believe. It's about the transformation that kind of led you to where you are. So I get it. But you guys have it a lot harder because in the world of sports, people will chop your head off or something.
Also, it's not even like the public, like one point. And I sometimes still handle it poorly. I used to handle it like poorly, like a ton, because I'm just like, this sucks. And like, I just think about all the other people that have just like everyone's just shut up, Jimmy, like just let them think that. And I'm like, well, how many people have had to just let people think stuff that's like untrue? Like I'd rather like whatever. But the worst part is when all the other baseball journalists, like writers, like there's been twice where like they ran with the quote out of context and then just like fucking crushed me. Like everyone got their quote tweet, like all across baseball writers on like this opinion I kind of half-heartedly had, but also like wasn't, it was like, you know, someone, and I'm like, this sucks. Like you guys all suck. Cause you're going to be nice to me when I see you.
Yeah.
But you all getting your quote tweet off shitting on me. But that's why like our non-baseball coverage content can sometimes be a breath of fresh air. Like no one's watching our warehouse game stuff and like trying to fucking crush us as people.
Dude, and you guys, I gotta say, you know, I've liked you guys before we ever met, and you know, and you guys are very down the middle with your reporting. Like you're very, like I would be a lot more emotional, you know, with the things that I say. I don't even want to tell you my reaction after, you know, the ALCS last year, you know, well, with Houston sweeping the Yankees, you know, and I'm a lot more emotional. So in your space, I would be awful because I would just be like, you know, I would scream at the top of my lungs.
So, it's so stupid what we do at that moment of fandom to talk.
It's so no stupid. Offense, it is.
It's so stupid.
But the restraint that you have to show, I'm just like, whew, because I am not, I come from a very passionate family that, you know, my mom will not mince her words when it comes to talking about anyone. And you guys, you know, you have connections in the MLB and in the sports world in general. So you guys have to be a lot more, I think, liberal with the way that you go about it. Sometimes I think, I've heard the conversations with Aaron Boone. You say it as it is, you know, and you ask the questions you have to ask. But I just think that as a non person in that world, I would not be as gracious and professional.
our Talking Yanks group chat is a little different than like what we say on the air. But it's like, because I don't want to stand by that shit. you know, like that we're texting each other during games, like, fuck, this guy stinks. Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You're like, all right, what's the version of that that I'll actually stand by? That people, yeah, like, if they share it and if that player hears it, I'd be like, nope, I do believe that, you know? It's like trying to find that. But,
well, that's the place I've had to come to, is like remembering that like athletes are humans and they're trying their best. And if it's not going their way, it's not always their fault. Yeah. But, you know, the New Yorker in me is still just so kind of like, I'll kind of go off. I had a very contentious relationship with one Mr. Gary Sanchez, and I'm sure I've said things that he would not like to hear. But, yeah, you know, that's just that's kind of the nature of the, you know, how it works.
It is. It's like, yeah. It's like, why do I got to care about you? In a weird way. Care about the uniform, dude. I don't care about who's in
and
it.
And you don't care about me.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. Do you have it? What's the biggest like athlete or celebrity that has reached out to you that listens or is a fan and you've been like, oh shit.
I don't get a lot of it, if I'm being honest. I think, you know, Joey gets more of it. I know Joey is him and Mika Zibanejad are friends. Ooh. And, you know, they talk. I don't know how regularly they talk, but we've had some people, you know, that have kind of reached out. I don't want to give out names there because I don't know, you know, but we've had, you know, some Yankees. We've had some, you know, some football players. And it's just random because you'd never know, you know, kind of. You'd never know otherwise. And then it starts in my head where it's like, all right, well, I know this person in the, let's say the Jets clubhouse is listening, you know, so like, are they listening with other people in earshot?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, as I'm going off about, you know, Zach Wilson, it's like Zach Wilson in the back, like hearing me just like tear him to shreds. So, you know, I'm, it's really new for me. You know, with people like reposting or like saying they're fans or something like that. So I tend to not, like, Joey's dealt with it for a lot longer, yeah, since he's been doing this stuff a lot longer. I tend to be like, all right, I need to make sure, like, I'll like write something out as like a response and then I'll stop and be like, let me try again. And then I'm like, no, just be yourself, you know? Yeah, so it's still really fresh for me.
Yeah.
Knowing that, what was your reaction? Cause the Pop-Tart clip was on like Good Morning America or something, wasn't it? So, yeah, like, what was your reaction to seeing that, considering who knows how many eyeballs that reached?
Yeah, we at first we thought it was the funniest thing in the world, because in outside of the context of the clip, I'm insulting him the whole time. So I'm on, you know, Good Morning America calling Joey a geek and a dweeb, you know, and really just trying to tear him to shreds because of the choice of Pop-Tart flavor that he likes. But, you know, it's strange and it's cool at the end of it. You know, I think everybody as humans in a way kind of really just craves attention, just where that attention comes from. So when you see something like that going viral and on the, you know, here and there and stuff, there's a moment of like, cool. But then it's about how you deal with the attention afterward, which, you know, really determines how you're going to react.
Do people recognize you and like drop like clips, or like, I don't know, how does that go? Do you get recognized when you walk around town or New Jersey or anything?
A lot more. Yeah. You know, it's cause I joined the show as a full-time co-host in 2020. Mm-hmm. And, at first it would be, you know, once every, you know, 4 or 5 months, maybe. Now every time I go out now, there's at least one person, you know, oh my God, I love the show. Yeah. You could tell kind of like the people that I've actually listened, or they just see a TikTok of it.
Yeah,
I had one person come up to me and they were just like, are you on TikTok? And I was like, if that, yes.
Yeah.
But, and I didn't say it to the person. Yeah. I was kind, you know, and I said, well, thank you, I appreciate it. But like, if that's, you know, where the relation or like the, where you're recognizing us is from, then it's like, oh, you just kind of just had one of those pop up in your For You page.
Yeah. The, when people recognize you that are listening to the long form, it's very interesting because we've been with baseball players before. That like we went to the stadium with a baseball player that played for another team, and he saw how much, you know, we get high and recognized, and I don't mind it in the slightest. Like, very few people I think are going about it the wrong way when they say hi to me. Like, I'm always in favor and, mm-hmm, and want to talk and stuff, but it's different. I explained to him, I said, because they know me and they want to have a conversation with me because they listen to me and they know my life a little bit. I said, for you, you're just a statue. They just want to take a picture with you and pass it on that they took a picture with you. They don't actually know who you are. They just know, same with actors. Like, you're just a statue that they see and they take a picture, and that's why it feels so vapid and you don't enjoy it. Where, like, I enjoy this because they want to talk to me. And he was like, that's right. Like, I am just a statue. People just take a picture and leave. Yeah, and that does suck when people are like, can I get a pic? And they take a pic and then they leave. I'm like, what's up, man? Like, say hi or something.
That's what I do. I always introduce myself and, you know, ask their name, you know, a little bit about them, because you can tell in certain situations when people are actually like excited. And like when people, like you said, are just trying to get a picture with you. I try to make it as meaningful for these people, because, you know, some of them are legitimate fans and are like very excited.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just try to make it as, you know, as enjoyable of an experience. I don't ever want someone to meet me and just be like, what an POS, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But the people that really get us are the ones, because our show is just two friends just kind of just chopping it up and just BSing. The people that come up to me and like try to be in on like our humor, it's like sometimes it's a little awkward because it's like, oh, you're just, that's not who you are, I don't know you, but you don't know me. So, but that's the thing, is they think sometimes that when they listen that they do. So they'll come up and they'll be like, yo, Frankie D-bag, what's up, dirtbag? You know, how you doing? It's like, hey, what's up, man? As I'm sitting there carrying my daughter and my other kids and my wife are here. It's like, oh, you can just talk to me normal. It's all right.
I feel like people, Jake is Jake, you know, he's funny. He's an entertainer. He's outgoing. He's always trying to make everyone have a good time no matter where he is. So people that listen to Talking Yanks or listen to stuff and they meet him, they're going to be like, oh, that's him. But I'm a wallflower. Like, I'm pretty shy. Like, when I'm in that really silly mode with Jake, I don't do that. I don't get to that level with multiple people. Yeah. I have to know you for a long time. So when I meet people and they want to kind of like go to like that, I'm like, oh no. Thanks. Yeah. I appreciate it. And then I feel terrible about it. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm kind of just like a shy, quiet guy.
Yeah. That's the dynamic, I think, between Joe and I as well, is he's a little more, and he's always been like this. He's a little more reserved and like really saves his personality for like the people he's known for years.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm the type where it's like, I'll walk into a room and try to be as big and over the top as I could be. Not for any, you know, particular reason, but you know, that's just who we are. So, you know, same dynamic, you know, is like sometimes when they meet us, they want to meet the versions of us that they watch, not the versions of us that we are in our normal daily life. I recently had someone come up to me at Target and they were like, you're like a dad. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah. That's always fun. If you like, don't know anything about me besides like the, like, cause I have breakdown only fans. So like those fans that don't listen to podcasts, they don't know much about my life at all. And then they'll see me and they'll say something like that, like, oh, you're married? And I'm like, yeah. Normal guy.
Oh, just like a POS like you, you're married? How did that?
Yeah. The only thing I hate about being recognized is I got to worry about like what I look like sometimes. One day I rode this electric scooter to the train station with a helmet on because I got a kid. Because I got a kid. I'm not trying to slip on some wet turn and crack my head on a curb, you know?
Fair.
Knew someone that happened to with their dad. It's terrible. But then I was like, I look like a fucking dweeb. And I don't want anyone, because sometimes I'll be riding, I have an electric bike. I also look like a nerd, but I don't care because I'm going fast and it's like fun. It's basically like a bike motorcycle loser thing. But the scooter, I was like, I can't have any. I took back roads. I put my hat down, put sunglasses on. I was like, I don't want, because people will drive by, like, what's up, John Boy? I'm like, no one can take a picture of me on this fucking scooter and post it. I hate it. And I'm like, shit. Or like, you know, just like complete slob of outfit.
you gotta just
I still do care. I still do that. But I'm like, do I have to care now?
I'll run out, you know, to the grocery store or Target in shorts, flip flops, and just like a tattered shirt with like a spit up stain on it. You just gotta roll with it, you know. Who cares?
I can do that, but the scooter I couldn't do. I was like, oh, I feel very uncomfortable.
People are gonna get you in a very raw and emotional state.
Topped out at 12 miles per hour, which is so slow. Like, I could probably just walk.
Well, you know what's going to happen. You're going to be just like enjoying yourself on there one day and just like, you know, on the scooter, and then someone's going to snap a picture of you, and it's going to be
No scooter anymore. I was like, I did that once. I came home and told my wife, I can't do it. I was so embarrassed that someone would see me. I can't like fathom this. So that's out. When you first commented on the warehouse games, like I think you commented something, at least the first one that we noticed was when we just said like, hey, we challenge people. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, like, five or so people in our office were like, oh, like imagine. And then you guys came, and that was really cool. It's cool to see like fan bases like that. It was Maddie. Were you one of them? Or is it was, I know I don't want to out him, but like the We Got Ice guys are like, they were like very excited to like meet you. And when you commented that, like, can we get him? That'd be awesome.
Dude, that was, I've been watching you guys for a while now, and passive. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say like every single episode it's appointment viewing, but you know, and I'm still in the place where like, I, it still drives me crazy. Not drives me crazy. It's still a surprise to me when people say that they're fans, and I take it very seriously. Yeah. And it really like, you know, it warms my heart. So, you know, I commented that because I was like, oh yeah, of course, you know, like my buddies and I, we grew up playing stickball, wiffle ball and stuff like that. So like, you know, let's see if we can make it, you know, not even if we can make it happen. Like we'd take a challenge. And then dude, the day we came in and did all the recording, that was, we had so much fun. Yeah. We had a blast. And like, it went by like the snap of a finger, you know? So that was super, super
those
fun.
Those days
and
go then, so quick. And I didn't really get to hang out with you that much because we were recording, and I eat a gummy when I record those things, so like I'm kind of high. So like I don't remember anything from those days. That's the shitty part, because we're outputting the whole time. I'm buzzed off my edible, and then it's over, and I'm like, those are gonna come out soon, Maddie, or when did that already came out?
That came out.
Yeah, already came out.
Yeah, that already came out. But we gotta get you in the warehouse or something too. That would be fun.
Would love it. And then it was like toward the end of the day, Joey and Danny were like, oh, they got MVP 2005 in there. And I was
I
was like, how did I not? And you know, it's so, yeah, that was a really, really fun time. And, you know, I love what you guys have been doing. You know, the We Got Ice guys, everyone across the board. I think before anything else, on top of, you know, enjoying the content, you guys, when I walked in and saw your setup and how you guys have everything running up, I can't speak for anybody else, but I know that we were all super, super impressed. And like, it was just like, it was awesome. And it felt like the energy was just like, everyone was there to have not only a good time, but like really like pour their passion into their work. And that was really, really cool. And I was texting my wife. I was like, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah. You
know? That's I don't awesome. Want to like freak out no, and be like, it was, you know, cool. Like a super mark.
Cause the other group that came, the YouTubers, they saw like the plaques and they were like impressed by that. And I was like, oh, okay. Like good call hanging those up. Let's get more. Cause I didn't know like, what does that come off as? And then they saw the whole setup and they're like, this is what, and I think it was good for our creators and us to see that as well and be like, hey, we don't need anything else. Like we're pretty set up here. Let's just create and have fun. And after that, we kind of did kind of turn there, and it was cool for me to see you guys react and like be impressed. Cause I never know, you know, I never know what people think. And I was like, yeah, we do have a lot to work with. Let's,
yeah, I tend to worry that, you know, because we came in and instantly started joking about Joey's dead dog.
Yeah.
And like our daddy issues, you know, and I often sometimes worry that our shtick is just like, it doesn't translate well when you're meeting other people. But we hit it off, man. We had a really, really good time over there. That was a lot of fun.
Nikki's there. It's a lot of jokes being thrown around. Yeah. This one. Yeah, we got to do that again or get you to the warehouse or do something. But I said that to Joe as well. I was like, hey, let's do something because it was fun.
Yeah,
and that day went by quick.
Yeah. And it was such a good time. Like, you know, it was just we were just having fun, you know, and it doesn't feel like work if you're doing that.
Tomorrow, Jake and I are going to the warehouse and we're playing against a bunch of teenagers in blitzball that like are like good, like baseball players. Like,
bro, I hope you mop the floor with them.
Same, but we're
you
so got old.
You have to bean one of them.
It's
at
Jeff
least.
Passan's son and his friends.
Oh, you got to be nice.
Or like, you know, we're gonna take it serious. We said we're coming for you. We'll see.
You don't want to upset Daddy Passan, you know.
Yeah, he's actually awesome. I'm excited, but yes.
Is he cool?
Yeah, no, he's pretty. He's pretty nice. That was something that Jake and I were surprised about when we went to the first winter meetings, is like the big reporters, like Rosenthal, Bob Costas, Passan, Buster Only were all in. They all liked us, you know. It was very easy for us to be just thought of as these fucking guys on Twitter causing a scene.
And you worry about, like, you know, they're either going to accept your, you know, how you've gotten to where you are, or they're really not going to, you know. And that's awesome, because you always worry about, you know, hearing, you know, meeting the people that you've enjoyed watching and your heroes and stuff like that, and then just being torn to shreds when they're not, you know, nice people or kind at all.
No, but majority of people have been like very accepting, or like, you know, and it gets to a point where like, okay, we're here now. You kind of have to or accept us or like, you know. But even at the outset, like the first time we went to winter meetings and stuff, we were still really small. Everyone was like, reached out and was nice and helpful. It's cool.
That's great, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, because the baseball community can be like fickle, or just very like, they think a lot of themselves. They're like keepers of history. They think more than like.
Well, it's America's pastime. You don't, you know.
I half agree. I'm like, yeah, you are. But like, then I'm also like, can we change some rules? Because it's so stupid. The stats are dumb. And then they don't.
We
should assume double plays. That's my big sticking point. It could be an error. Whatever. All right. Well, taking up a lot of your time. I appreciate it. Thanks for having a conversation. I don't know if we ever got to the stuff Maddie wanted us to get to, but I enjoyed very much just talking about life.
I loved it. Thank you so much. Yeah. This was great.
Cool. Awesome, man. Well, yeah, we'll get in touch, because I'm going on paternity leave. And then when I'm done, I'm going to be just like ready to do as much as I can. So we'll
have another tournament. Don't be a stranger, man. Don't be a stranger. Congrats. We're not too far from each other. We're both Jersey boys now.
Yeah. You don't have to say.
I'm down. Yeah, that's all right. I'm down in Tom's River.
Oh, yeah. I remember talking to you about that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So I remember you were saying you lived. I'm not going to say where, but you lived.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if I go to if I'm in Lavalette for a stint, if I'm there for a week or so, I'll reach out.
Dude, I'm more than welcome. But congrats again and best of luck. And, you know, it'll be great, man. And thank you for having me. This was, I love doing this stuff, so thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. And late congrats to you. 5 months late.
Thanks.
Yeah. Enjoy.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. See you, man. Thanks for watching. Subscribe, like, watch, comment, all that stuff. See you later. Bye.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.